can the sciences do for Amherst, and what can Amherst do for the sciences? Now, we all know which of those two questions Kennedy would have wanted us to ask, but I'll ask them both. The simplest answer to our first question, what can the sciences do for Amherst, is another question, namely, whether any of us can reasonably consider ourselves liberally educated if we lack at least a rudimentary grounding in the scientific and technological advances that are quite literally transforming our world every single day. What a strong presence for the sciences can do for Amherst, then, is to ensure that every Amherst graduate is, in truth, liberally educated. The fact that we are living in the golden age of science, especially biology, for all of recorded civilization, surely imposes responsibilities on an institution aspiring to provide a broad and deep education intended to equip its students as future citizens, and most especially those destined by their privilege, as Kennedy reminded us, to be leaders. Surely we and they have a responsibility to master the exploding knowledge about the natural and physical world at least sufficiently so that they can participate meaningfully in high-stakes policy debates. There are such profound unanswered ethical questions that are not even being asked, much less answered, about the promises and the perils of the new technologies, such as genetic manipulations that can radically expand life expectancy. And those questions are going to proliferate and escalate as those technologies advance. We have tools now that far surpass our wisdom to manage them. So the pragmatic need for greater technical expertise among the nation's citizenry is reason enough to view competence in the sciences as essential to a liberal education. In addition, though, science has a powerful pedagogic claim to make. The ancient root of the word science is scientia, or knowledge. Science education has always been education for knowing. Originally, under the rubric of natural philosophy, the sciences were not seen as divorced from the humanities or other systems of logical thought. Like philosophy and mathematics, the natural sciences involved testing propositions systematically and also involved asking Socrates' first question of ethics: how shall we live? Study of the sciences teaches analytic thinking, explicitly encourages and reinforces reasoning quantitatively, requires testing ideas against experimental feedback. It teaches that imperfection is an integral part of learning and enables students to participate in the process of revising and discovering and optimizing. If the project of a liberal education, as I believe, is to learn to think for oneself, to think critically, to examine oneself and one's deep beliefs, to bring one's inner reality into alignment with a world out there, to honor the humanity and the diversity of others, and to find one's own home in the world, then what better point of departure than Einstein's dictum that no experiment can ever prove me right, and a single experiment can always prove me wrong? In a climate of clashing worldviews and endless arguments from emotion and received wisdom, grounding in the scientific method provides students a framework that they can use throughout their lives to distinguish between an argument and a harangue. It teaches a way to assess the objective world that exists independently of themselves and counters the fundamentalist claim that my reality is equal to your reality and I don't have to open my closed system of thinking to expose it to yours if doing so makes me uncomfortable or causes me inconvenience. That sort of anti-intellectualism cuts the very ground out from under a liberal education, and the scientific method, practiced artfully and with respect for context, can shore it back up.